Amen. It's good to see everybody out for the home group meeting today for the 13th of August. Amen. My, this year is quickly slipping away. Amen. And before we know it, it's going to be 2020. Well, I'd like to go ahead and tonight we'll be looking at Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 67. But before I get into what the Lord would have for us tonight, remember, we are in the wilderness of Zen. We are in the wilderness of Zen. And remember what this Wilderness Truth from Modern Times is all about. This is what Paul encouraged the children, the church at Corinth to study study the lives and study the times of the children of Israel and all of the mistakes that made so that they would not make the same mistake. You know, we know the church at Corinth was probably one of the worst churches of all of the churches in the Bible. I mean, they were steeped in idolatry, but still Paul called them brethren. They were Christians, but they were carnal Christians. But I always thought that was encouraging. Paul always called them brothers. And so what we, this Wilderness Truths for Modern Times is we go ahead and we look at all of the things, and now we are in the wilderness of Zen, and this was a very important turning point in the lives of the children of Israel. But even in the wilderness of Zen, they failed, and they had to go into Moab. And so I have a little map, and we're going to go ahead and look at that. But before I get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 67, I just like to share this three or four points of what I shared last time. Amen. The first point is, in spite of God's faithfulness, there is unbelief. Thus, it takes great effort to rebel. It takes great effort in the face of God's faithfulness and the face of God's blessings in our life and all of the things and all of the unbelief. It takes great effort for us to walk away from God. Isn't that amazing? That it just takes great effort. And we have to go out of our way looking at all the wonderful things that God, does for us and for us just to walk away from Him and unbelief. It is just it's amazing, because that was the children of Israel. All the things that God formed, their clothes never wore out, their shoes never wore out. God gave them manna and gave them quail and all of these things. And in spite of all of the faithfulness, God gave them a pillar of fire by night, and He gave them a cloud by day. In spite of all of this, they still rebelled, and they walked away from God. And that entire generation, the generation that left Goshen, never entered into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. It was the second generation that made it in. Second point we looked at is, we must come to a rededication and a reconsecration and a renewal and a separation of sin and things in our life daily. And that was the purpose that God brought the children of Israel to the wilderness of Zin, to come into a place of rededication, a place of reconsecration, a place of renewal, and a separation from the things in their lives that God is finding displeasing. And this is so true in our life also. Daily, we must come to a rededication, a reconsecration, a renewal. And this is, this is something that we don't have to do ritually, but this is just something that is in our heart and our spirit as we go ahead and we worship God. It's a rededication and just a reconsecration. And definitely, daily, we have to separate ourselves. We have to separate ourselves from the world. We have to separate ourselves from worldly thinking and worldly ways. If not, that we will get caught up in those things. The third point that we looked at last time was, most Christians have no concept of our flesh ruling our lives and our thoughts. And that is true. Most churches do not teach on the flesh and how the flesh, and there's a spirit man and the flesh man and so forth and so on. Most churches, most Christians know nothing about that. It's either the devil's doing this or whatever, and they just missed the entire book of Romans. See, that's what Romans talks about, the book of Romans, which is one of the most important books in the Bible, when it talks about the New Testament Christian, church and the New Testament Christian. it talks about the old man of the flesh, and it's just it's tremendous. With most Christians, they have no concept of the flesh because it's not taught. And the last point is our flesh must die. That was the reason, the number one reason, that God had the children of Israel stop by the wilderness of Zin to go ahead and show them that their flesh must die. Before they could continue on and go left, God wanted them to go to the wilderness of Zin for their flesh to die and go left so that they could go into the promised land. But their flesh did not die. They did not die. And we're going to look at some verses about this. And it is not Satan and all that good stuff, and, you know, that is our enemy. But our worst enemy is ourselves. Our worst enemy is ourselves, is our fleshly desires, it's our attitudes, it's our desires and all of the things that would rebel, that would shake its fists in the face of God. That is our greatest enemy. Amen. So tonight, Wilderness Cruise for Modern Times. This is number 67. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and go to number, where you have the notes. So you go to Numbers 20 and 5. Numbers 20 and 5. And here says, "And therefore have ye made us to come out of Egypt." Now, who's talking here? The children of Israel. So here they are again, chiding Moses. Here again, they're in the wilderness of Zin, and they're upset with Moses. "You brought us out here to die. You brought us into this evil place. It is no place of seed or figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." So here, God has taken care of them all of these years, and they brought them to the wilderness of Zin so that God could deal with their flesh. And so, but you know, they're, instead of seeing something spiritually, they're looking at the physical aspects. Why did you bring us here into this evil place? Tonight, what I like to do, I like to look at blind flesh. Blind flesh. The more that fleshly desires and comforts are pushed forward for fulfillment, the less understanding there will be in the ways of God. Let me say that again. That's something you need to underline and get that point very, very important. Because the more that our fleshly desires and our comforts are pushed forward in fulfillment, the more we want our way, the more we want the things that we want, and the more we want comfort and all of these things, but the more we push that for something that fulfills us, the less understanding there will be in the ways of God. To the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto the carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye have not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there among you is envy and strife and division, and ye are not carnal, and you walk as men." Now, we've got to remember that Paul wrote that, you know, 1 Corinthians to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians wrote a letter to Paul. And the Corinthians told Paul all of these problems that was going on in the church. And so the book of Corinthians actually lays out some problems that was going on in the Corinthian church. And here Paul mentions a couple, and that was envy and strife and division. Some were saying, "Well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm, you know, I am of Peter, and I'm of Paul," and it was all of this stuff was going on. But the more our flesh runs rules our thinking, the more our flesh runs our thinking in our lives, the less that God runs our life. The more we go through, you know, the more we allow our flesh to lead us and guide us and do all of these things, then God cannot be doing that. I was at the prison up in Craven last time, and I was talking to one of the inmates, asked me a question. He said, "What is the word carnal mean?" And I told him. And the way I explained that was, in the world there are two types of people. There are people that are saved, and there's people that are not saved. There's people that are saved, people not saved. And if you're not saved, well, you need to get saved. But inside the saved group, there are two types of Christians. There are carnal Christians, and there are spiritual Christians. There's either carnal or spiritual. And carnal Christians, they're Christians, and if they die, well, you know, I would think they would go to heaven, but that's up to the Lord. But they do not operate in the spirit. They do not do spiritual things. Everything is done in the natural and their own strength and do all of these things. And that's what was going on at the church in Corinth. They were, Paul was saying that they're carnal. They do not go after the spirit. They go after the flesh. Paul was saying, I cannot teach you properly because of the fleshly desires and carnal plans, those thoughts and those motives in operation, and they cannot understand further spiritual truths. Now, it's not that Paul wasn't teaching them those spiritual truths, but the folks in Corinth, you know, the Christians there, they could not understand those spiritual truths. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and go to 2 Thessalonians. Amen. 2 Thessalonians, and I will explain this. Amen. This is a very, very important point, because a lot of Christians, they say, well, I don't understand why you can't, you know, why this guy can't get it, and I don't understand why, you know, this is going on. Well, there's a reason sometimes why people don't get it. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, And with all the detectable of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. And that word saved there is more than having their sins forgiven. That word saved there has everything to do with a wholeness and coming to a foundational truth and a salvation. But they are deceivable of unrighteousness in them that perish. And they perish because they have not received not the love of the truth. Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. For this cause, because they do not have a love for the truth, because they do not want to go after the things of God, because they want to stay carnal, because that is what they want in their lives, God will give them a spirit of delusion. It will be almost impossible, for them to come to the understanding of the truth, because God has given them a spirit of delusion. And we can find that also in Romans and other, you know, in other places where God will go ahead and just give people a reprobate mind. They don't want the truth. They want to walk away from God, so God will give them a reprobate mind. Amen? If we are carnal, our flesh acts as a delusion. The carnality in our life will act as a delusion to our spirit. And that's what happens a lot. And that's what was going on in the church at Corinth. And believe it or not, I believe that's what's going on in America. The love for, you know, for ease and whatever they want, and just the doctrines and all of this stuff, the sloppy agape and the grace and all of this stuff. You know, God is just giving them a spirit of delusion, and, well, you know, that's between them and God. The place described as evil by the children of Israel was a place appointed by God for their good. Now, the children of Israel said, this place of sin, the worst of sin, is an evil place. But this is the place that God has brought them to. So too in our life. When we come to difficult situations and tough areas in our life, this is the place that God has brought us to. The devil didn't bring us to this place of spiritual growth and development. But in this tough area, God has brought us there. That wasn't an evil place. That was a good place. That was the place that they needed to be. That was the place for the will of God for their life, and the place of the will of God for anybody's life is the best place that they can be in. The flesh is in such preeminent, a prominent activity that it impedes spiritual understanding. If our flesh takes the lead in areas in our life, then spiritual understanding will not happen. Thus, God cannot take us up into heavenly places as long as our flesh remains active. We have to allow God to kill our flesh. Again, that's what God wanted to do to the children of Israel, so he could get them to go left and go into the promised land. Either our flesh or our spirit will control our lives, and we get to choose. Let me say that again. Either our flesh or our spirit. Now, you can't have the spirit going and then the flesh, and that's not the way that works. It's either the flesh or our spirit will be in control of our life, and we get to choose. We get to choose which one. The question, "Why did you, Moses, bring us to such an evil place?" cannot be answered. No answer will satisfy them. They could not understand the real reason. And the real reason was God wanted to deal with their flesh. Today, people ask questions for which there is no satisfying answer. And the correct answer cannot be understood nor received by them. The world is in turmoil. I just can't believe how crazy the world is getting day by day by day. And it's because Christians do not understand that they are in a spiritual battle. They're in a spiritual battle. Not with Satan. No, they're not with Satan, because he's defeated, amen? Satan is defeated, if we believe so. But we are in a spiritual battle because they have received not the love of the truth. Most Christians have not received the love of the truth, and that's the spiritual battle. They have not received the love of the truth, and their flesh is alive, and it controls their life. They can't be saved. But, they have to allow God to work in their life and turn all of that around. It is no place of seed or of figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. This is their vision. This is their vision. Their vision is focused upon the natural, that which is of the earthly, that is physical. They see no fig trees which to satisfy their hunger. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to come into this nice oasis and have this water and everything is just hunky-dory. Well, that's not what will kill our flesh. Their revelation is fleshly. It's of the natural realm. And has no spiritual understanding. They have no spiritual understanding to what God is doing in their lives. We must have a spiritual understanding of what God is doing in our life. And that'd be a good place to say amen right there. We must. We cannot be religious. We cannot, go to church because it's Sunday or do this or that. Today, if we're going to survive as Christians, or today if we're going to survive at all, we must have a spiritual understanding of what God is doing in our life. If we do not, then, we're just going to have this delusion, and we're just going to be out there doing all of this religious stuff, and going here and going there and doing all of this good stuff, and unfortunately, God has nothing to do with that. They see no water which to drink to satisfy their thirst. But Jesus said, Matthew 5:6, it's right there in the notes, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Filled with what? Righteousness? Food? Water? No. Whatever you hunger and you thirst after, you will be filled. That's what Jesus is saying. Whatever you hunger and you thirst after, you will be filled with that. So if you hunger after the things of the world, if you hunger after fame and fortune, if you, hunger after being the best preacher or the best teacher or having the biggest church in Sneaks Harry or whatever, if you hunger about that, you're going to be filled with that. But if you hunger after righteousness and, if you hunger after the things of God, then you will be filled with that. But to the children of Israel, there was no pleasant things there which to satisfy their flesh. We determine what is pleasant. You know that? We determine what is pleasant in our life.
Sorry.
We get to choose those words, this is pleasant or this is unpleasant. We get to determine whether it's satisfying to our flesh or it's not satisfying to our flesh. If we go out and we want ourselves, you know, if our self wants to be, if our flesh wants to be satisfied, then it's not going to be pleasant if we're going through some hard times. But if we're not concerned about our flesh being satisfied, then as we go through some hard times, then no matter, we're in the will of God, so that is going to be pleasant according to the revelation of God that we possess. So I always find that amazing. People that know God, people that have this revelation of God, a deeper understanding of God, there's nothing that will move them. I mean, I can tell you of many, many people that I know that were, you know, had a tremendous understanding of God, and I said, well, my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, he died of Merkel cell cancer in 1996, and I would spend time with him back in 94 and 95, and, you know, he wasn't so concerned about someone praying for him and doing a miracle, because he knew, now you could pray for him if you want to, but he knew God, and he was sure that this, you know, no matter what happened, if God heals them, fine. If God don't heal them, fine. And so he wasn't moved. He wasn't upset. He wasn't crying or running around. He was in God, and he was preaching and teaching up to the time that he died. We get to choose. We get to determine what is pleasant and what is unpleasant in our life. And that will be according to our revelation of God that we possess. So if we possess no revelation of God, well, then our flesh will be wild, and it's alive and well. But if we have a revelation of God, if we possess that, then, well, everything that we see will be roses, and everything will be what God wants to bring into our lives. Yeah. They said, I do not want to be here in this wilderness. Who needs this? This place is not for me. And the flesh cries out. We who are so dependent upon these things need to be weaned, as was Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:17-19, very, very typical, very, very familiar verses. Along the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall no herds in the stalls. Yet, so that transitional verse right there, yet, that word yet there means considering everything that's said. Considering everything that's said. No blossoms, no fruit, no vines, no olives, no meat. In spite of all of that, considering all of that that has been said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. We determine whether we want to rejoice in the Lord or not. That's up to us. No matter the situation, we get to consider, yet we want to go ahead. Yet, no matter all of these things that are happening in my life, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And what this actually is talking about in the Greek, it's a bunch of mountain goats. It's a bunch of mountain goats, and they are up there on this mountain, on these crags and these crevices, and where you and I could walk up there, but these animals that could walk, they have these special little hooved feet that they could walk in these little small crevices in these very dangerous places. And that's the picture here. The Greek language is very picturish, and it just paints pictures there. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. We either will feed our flesh with the world, or we will feed our spirit with the things of God. And again, that is our choice. Will we spend time in the Word of God? Do we spend time in prayer? Do we spend time with the Lord? Or do we watch TV all the time, or, you know, you talk to this person and that person and find out, you know, what's going on and so forth and so on? That's our choice. Do we feed our flesh with the world, or do we feed our spirit with the things of God? This is our choice. Some parting thoughts. Is our flesh supposed to like the wilderness of Zin? No. In no way. Our flesh is not supposed to like the wilderness of Zin. Our flesh is not supposed to like those difficult areas and those hard things that God brings us to, so that we can be conformed into the character and the image of His dear Son. Our flesh does not like that. Our flesh screams to get out and run and just to be satisfied. The wilderness has not been designed for fleshly comfort. Tough areas and situations in our life, God has not designed them to make us happy. Let me say that again. God has not designed spiritual growth and development in our life to make us happy. Matter of fact, God wants us to be unhappy. He wants us to see that He needs to be our source. He wants us to see that the world cannot help us. He wants us to see that He is the only help in our life. The wilderness is supposed to bug our flesh. The wilderness is supposed to bug our flesh. It's to make us uncomfortable. It's to point us to the Lord. Amen? And as long as our impatience prevails, we will continue to be bugged. We will continue to be bugged. God has designed the wilderness not to bug us, but ultimately to kill us, so that we can conquer. So that we can conquer and take the land from Jordan to the sea. Now, your last page should be a map. Your last page should be a map. And I pulled this out from my Bible, and I put this today as I was going over my notes. You know, there's a song we used to sing, Sister Carolyn, called that He is able to bring us up. The giants call, their way to hinder. God will give us the victory. And the song talks about the victory from Jordan to the sea. And that is where, on your map right there, you see number one down there is the wilderness of Zin. The wilderness of Zin right there. And as I was always been saying, that God wanted the children of Israel to turn left. To turn left. And go into the promised land. You can see if they go left, then they go into the Canaan land, and that is the promised land. But we know where they go, the second generation, where they go into the promised land. It's not the wilderness of Zin. You got to go all the way up to the top of, over there by Jericho. You see Jericho, where number two is right there? That is the Sea of Galilee right there. And right there is the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Joshua took that second generation of people across the Jordan River. So the victory was from the Jordan to the sea. And so that's where they went in there. Now that place that they crossed over was a place called Bethabara. Bethabara. Bethabara was also the same place that Jesus was baptized. It was the same place that the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan River, and Bethabara means, believe it or not, ferry house, or crossing over. So that was the same place that Jesus was baptized, and that was the very same place that the children of Israel, they crossed over into the promised land. Amen? God desires us to come into a place of victory from Jordan to the sea. These areas in our life. But again, that is up to us. Amen? We must allow God so to work in our lives as to bring us to wait for Him patiently, to trust Him completely in all types of situations. We must be brought to inner peace where there is no striving with man or of God. Amen? Amen? We must be brought to inner peace, amen, where there is no striving with man or God. Sweetheart, can you go ahead and read that? Amen. Amen. my sweet, beautiful wife is going to read 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25.
And amen. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Amen. That the servant of God must not strive. We must not be out there striving and trying to make it happen and all of that stuff. Because the victory is not in us. The victory is in God, and He just uses us to bring the victory. But we need to be gentle, and we need to be teachable, and we need to be patient. Amen? We must let go of the provisions of the flesh. We must be weaned. If not, there is a tremendous spiritual loss. Now, I'm going to say some really deep things here, okay? And this is very, very important for us. Amen? The loss of some of what we have already gained and the loss of what we would have gained if we have learned to patiently trust in the Lord, especially when we think we know what we need. Spiritual loss in God happens to what God has already been able to work in our life. Let me say that again. If we have allowed God to work in our life, and we kind of get off track, and we kind of, get out of the way that God has for us. The first thing lost is not the ministry or whatever, the things that we're doing for God. The first thing lost is the spiritual work that God has been doing in our life. Those things, the peace that God gives us without understanding, and all of those benefits that He brings to our life. That is what is lost first. Wow. The work that He's already been able to do in our life, that is what's lost. We must be brought to a blind faith. We must not allow our flesh to be blind with fleshly desires, but allow God to kill those fleshly desires in us. That is our choice. I know I said that three times, but it is true. For God to be able to bring those things of the Spirit to us, we have to desire and allow God to kill those fleshly desires in us. At stake is our walk with the Lord. Let me say that again. At stake is our walk with the Lord. At stake for the children of Israel was their future. Was their future. But if we go back and we look at the map in the wilderness of Zin, all they had to do was come to that place of consecration and renewal. And God would have let them go left, and they went into the Canaan land. But they didn't. They didn't. As we see later on in Numbers, they went right. They went right around, the Galilean Sea. And they went up, and they wandered in Moab, in Edom, in Moab, and they wandered and wandered until they died. And then the second generation crossed over the Jordan River. And they went and they conquered the land from Jordan to the sea. And that's our choice. That was their choice. They did not, their flesh, they could not allow God to work in their life because their flesh, they wanted to have good fruits and good figs and water and all that good stuff. But that's not what God was after in their life. Mm-hmm. To the degree of submission and obedience to the Lord, so is the measure of our spiritual growth and inner peace. Wow. Wow. That is tremendous right there. To the degree of submission. Your submission in God will only carry you as far as your commitment and dedication. It's easy to see someone's submission. All you have to do is look at their dedication and commitment. So, submission happens out of a dedication and a consecration. So to the degree of our submission and obedience to the Lord, so is the measure of spiritual growth and inner peace in our life. Our flesh brings us to the truth. The truth is we must allow God to pluck out our flesh. In Matthew 1:8 and 9, Jesus was talking about if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. Well, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't saying to go in and pull your eye out, But he said it would be better that you go ahead and have your eye removed and go into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. So allow God to pluck out our flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, a party thought right here, and I'm just struck with the lack of peace, that is in the world today. And maybe I can just say of America, but I am just struck by the lack of peace that is in maybe America or anywhere in the world. I was watching the news, and all these Americans were up in Times Square, and there was a truck that backfired. And all of a sudden, thousands of people took off running. Thousands of people just took off running. And they didn't know where they were running to, but they were just running. Well, you know, God is the giver of peace. And unless you have God in your life, then your flesh is going to drive you. Unless you have God in your life, you will have no peace. You will have no peace. You will have no security. And all these spiritual things that money can't buy, all of those will be lost, because God gives peace. But as He takes His hand off, then what goes is peace. What goes is security and our feeling of wellness and all of these things. And that's why it's critical that we push into God and we allow God to work in our life and heal our flesh. Children of Israel did not allow God to kill their flesh. And they wondered, and they wondered, and they wondered. Because right now, if you look at a time scale, you would see that they are less than 2 years, 2 years of wandering from when they left Egypt. I'm sorry, when they left Goshen. And so they wandered for 40 years. So they're at about the 2 year mark. So for 38 years, they wandered in Moab and Edom and around the Arabian Peninsula until they all died. For at least 38 years. Wow. That need to be the case in our life. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your mercies. Father, Lord God, help us, Father, Lord God, tonight, Father, Lord God. Let us recognize those areas in our life, Father, Lord, where our flesh is alive, the things that we want to do, and all of those things that are not of you, Father, Lord. Lord God, I would ask that you would go ahead and, Lord, just give us the strength and the faith, Father, Lord God, to just push into you, and, Lord, that you would kill those fleshly desires in us that are not of you, Father. And we just love you and we praise you, Father, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would give us peace, Father, Lord God. You would give us security and wisdom, Father, Lord God. You would give us understanding and revelation, Father, Lord. For all these come from you, Father. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord. We thank you for your word tonight, Father, Lord. Bless your word, Father, Lord. Lay it at our heart's door, Father, Lord. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.